Welcome one and all once again to Toe-Wilden episode 165. I am joined this week by Martin.
Hi.
And Daniel.
Greetings.
And salutations. Hey, for once, I actually know where the other ones are this week. I actually met Anthony last night because he's in New York City.
Huh.
So that's kind of awesome. And while I was there, I got to pick up Little Mac Amiibo from the Nintendo World Store.
Which is apparently a feat.
Well, I mean, it's weird. I said this before, and I always forget that we have the Nintendo World Store. And it's never my first place to find things for Nintendo. But I went there yesterday. I got the Little Mac Amiibo. There was a few of them, so it's probably still there. And then I got a second GameCube adapter for a friend because they had them in stock. They had a lot of them in stock. Mm. And they only sold out this morning. But it's not...
Bloody like, Nintendo shipping all your stock to Nintendo World in New York instead of giving it to the people who actually buy them.
Well, I mean, people buy them in Nintendo. I will say this much. I hate that area at this time of year. It's a Rockefeller Center, and it's Christmas time. It took me about 20 minutes to walk 5 minutes because it was so crowded. It was so bad that, you know, I don't know if you folks have this overseas, but I assume, yeah, crossing guards, like the people who kind of tell traffic to go and people to walk.
We don't have that.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
We have these things called traffic lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have traffic lights too, but I mean,
usually people like that only show up with something breaks.
Yeah, when there's a big like incident involving, and then the police do it.
But yeah, that's really what they are. I mean, we have them for schools because they do it out for schools just because there's a lot of, if it's a busy intersection and little children. But here, because it's the holiday season and it's so crowded, what they would do is really they would cut off part of the block that the cars couldn't drive through so people can walk through, and then they would move over to the other side when it was time for that because it was just a mass of humanity, and if you didn't do it, people would just continue to walk and nobody would get anywhere. So I hate this area in this time of the year, and I try to avoid it as much as possible, which is why I often don't go to Nintendo World Store at this time of the year. Mm. That said, I think I said this before, I would get Little Mac and I'd get Choke, because I don't think there's going to be a ton of Punch-Out and Xenoblade Chronicles merchandise ever released.
Yeah.
So, that was good.
Apparently a good idea, since some characters of the first shipment are basically impossible to get right now.
And they're not restocking in places as well.
Out of interest, I actually went to like a couple of game shops, like and electronic stores while I was shopping for clothes this week, just to see look at the amiibos because I was curious. And lots of shops already completely sold out, or they only have like Pikachus left or something. Because apparently, I assume Nintendo produced lots of Pikachus.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can kind of jump ahead to this real quick. It's in the news. MPDs and stuff like that, they released early estimates, and I believe that in the States, during the month of November, so about a week and a half, I guess, they sold 700,000, about roughly 700,000 amiibos, and I believe the most popular ones, oddly enough, were Link, Mario, and Pikachu. I get them. It's just the order. Like, I would have expected it to be Mario, Pikachu, Link. But Link being the most popular one?
No, I saw Link basically on top of every shot when I checked, like, online stores.
I think, I wonder if people are doing their research and figuring out that he's the most valuable because he can also be used in Hyrule Warriors.
Probably.
Also, maybe Link is really more popular than some people think.
Well, it's also the same in Japan. I think in Japan they sold like roughly 100,000 opening week. And it's the same Link, Mario, and Pikachu as far as the three most popular figures go. I mean, it's off to a good start for Nintendo. I mean, that's roughly 800,000 in about a week and a half if you count Japan and the United States.
Aren't they selling amiibos about 1-to-1 on copies of Smash?
Yeah, about roughly 1-to-1.
Which is really good. Like,
well, I mean, I assume it's 1-to-1 in purchases, but I assume it's more like 6-to-1, where you have a lot of people who are buying a ton of them, and then other people who are just not interested.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it works either way for them. They get money. And, I mean, part of it is going to be a juggling act with the new characters, because I mean, and this is the same thing that happened with Skylanders and Disney Infinity. You can't really expect any retailers to carry like 50 of these at one time. So I assume what they I mean, there's no good way to do this, but they should have probably introduced more people and not do a phase two this year and then cycle out the new, older ones in the start of the new year. Yeah. Because what's happening now is, like, you see people like Moth, Voyager, and We Fit Trainer kind of cycling out. And it's, you know, it's no coincidence, I would imagine, that three people are cycling out as they're introducing three new characters.
Basically, the first cycle was just kind of too short. That's the problem, I would say.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a crap. And it's the same thing with the GameCube adapter. It's a crapshoot. Because if you had too many of them, which I know people are going to... But if you have too many of them, it's going to be the Wii U situation where they have billions of dollars of inventory in their warehouse that they can't move?
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying that what was it in stores?
Yeah.
Basically a month. And now the time difference between Wave 2 and Wave 3 will be 2 months?
Yeah, that's much better. That's much more reasonable. Yeah. Even though apparently what they're doing with that is they're breaking up Wave 2, because Wave 2.1 is Zootomax, Zelda, and I think Diddy Kong. And then Wave 2.2 is Captain Falcon, Luigi, and Pit.
Mm.
And those are... Then that's another confusing thing they're doing, is that, like, as far as I know, Wave 2 didn't have an official release date for us, so a lot of people were just kind of guessing when stores would get them. And so, like, they're not street dated, so stores can sell them when they got them. But I heard stories like people like, oh, they sold Diddy Kong and they sold Little Mac, but they wouldn't sell Zelda, or they had them but they didn't want to sell them until this weekend or whatever. So it's a really confusing thing.
Weird,
and
because Wave 2 over here seems to be everything on the 19th.
Yes,
and apparently at least Amazon is telling me Wave 3 is January 23rd for us.
I don't know
if that's right.
I was going to say that you folks seem to be handling it better as well, because as far as I know right now, you don't have any retail exclusive figures either.
No, we don't.
Yes, because
and Amazon has everything, so...
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm kind of curious how that works with the Nintendo World Store, because they are not necessarily it's not a competition for Target or GameStop, but I don't know how that usually works with retail exclusive deals. Anyhow, that's it for Amiibos, the Amiibo update and hunt. And this is my fifth one now, I believe. I have two more in the mail if they ever ship. And it's really becoming a problem, I guess. Even though
you have as many as me.
Well, I mean, I ordered a collection of three back when Toys R Us was having their deal. So that's just waiting until that order actually ships. Little Mac, I said I was going to get from the get-go. I was going to get Little Mac and Shulk, because, you know, characters who I just don't expect to have much care of that I like. I guess as I'm talking, real quick update. I guess not update, new. I think Martin talked about this before, but I started Shadow of Mordor on the Xbox One this week.
Mm.
Really enjoying it. I was going to say, I mean, like I said, Martin's talked about it. The thing I really enjoyed about the start of the game is how they did the tutorial and the opening cinematic together.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I thought was a really careful thing. It's like, we're going to get you the story, we're going to get you what you need to know, and we're going to do it in as concise and simple ways possible. I like how it would transition from like, you doing with your son to you fighting with the orcs. And it's like, oh, this is really cool. I get into the game, I kind of get the general plot and the enemies right away, and I still get the tutorial without it being like this long, laborious process. I'm looking at you, Legend of Zelda. And
then later on, new abilities are usually connected to actually using them in missions or through challenges, which is also a nice way of doing it.
Yeah, I like some. I was not a fan of the wildebeest or whatever, the thing you have to like snipe with your bow.
Yeah.
I died several times during that mission just because, like, it wants you to press A to dodge, which I'm fine with, except that you're also fighting like 9 orcs at the same time.
I did luckily not have that much trouble with that one, but...
Yeah, so what I started to do, what I finally did to solve it, is I would just stay in the cave, snipe the orcs, pick up the bows that are nearby, and by the time the boar would come rushing through, I'd have enough time to just snipe him out. But yeah, it's a nice setup. So far, I'm really digging it. I like just kind of going through and hearing all the orcs try to talk trash to you and beating the crap out of them. So yeah, yep. really fun game. So far the Nemesis system hasn't come into play too much for me. I think partially because I've defeated all the early ones pretty easily.
Yeah, like I said, you should probably at first just go for story missions so more of that stuff unlocks so you can actually play more with it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
because they lock a lot of the abilities behind story progression.
Nice. So yeah, like I said, I'm having fun with it right now. I mean, just as my continuing saga with the Xbox One, this game only took me about 25 minutes to start. So that's an improvement.
It's still pretty long, I have to say.
Oh, it's
compared to PS4.
Extremely long. I was being half sarcastic. Because I got home early from work Christmas party. I'm like, oh, let me play a game because there's nothing on TV tonight. And I figured I'd pop it in and start. It's like, and the funny thing, it took forever to get to 1%. It took like 10 minutes to get to 1%. Then it took another 7 to get to 2%. Then it went 3%. And then somehow it jumped to ready to start. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you go with it. As long as I can play this game. So yes. So I'm not even going to bother with Sunset Overdrive anytime soon if it's going to take forever to actually install this game. I mean, that's it for me. What have you two been playing?
I have been playing Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, and I actually finished it yesterday. I haven't done any of the challenge tombs. But, yeah, if you haven't played the first one, which is Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, it's an isometric puzzle platformer. It has a lot more tombs than Tomb Raider 2013. Has nothing but tombs, unlike Tomb Raider 2013, actually. It's a top-down... Well, I say top-down. It's an isometric co-op puzzle platformer. I played it on my own. It's not terribly different from the first one, which is a good thing, because I was hoping that didn't change a whole lot. They kept in the really fast, overpowered combat role that the first one had. Which is nice because it means that you can complete the time trials really quickly. So it has a sort of a bare bones story that just gives you an excuse to go into a tomb and solve a puzzle and get a thing and then go into another tomb. There's a really cool thing where there are like two different times of day, obviously day and night, and there are four different. There's weather effects. There's like icy. There's raining, there's sunny, and there's another one. And the tombs change depending on what the weather and the time of day is. So once you finish the story, which is it's not hard, it takes you about 4 hours, you can then go back into all the tombs that you've done. Like, so if you did the tomb when it was raining at night time, you could try it when it's snowy and cold during the daytime, and there'll be different parts of the tomb that you can get to. So there's excuses to replay all the tombs, which is nice. There's obviously there's extra challenge tombs where you have to think about what you're doing a little more. There's a bunch of unlocks, like if you collect 5 skulls in every level, then you get a health or an ammo upgrade, and there are chests that you can open with like these gems that you find, and if you have enough to open a chest, you get a random item which could change how your bonus power works, or you can add and reduce stats like bomb power or bullet damage or bomb the area of effect the bomb has. So there's a lot of customization. It's fun. It's just like the first one. It's pretty good. I think the first one's a little better because the environments in the first one are more interesting. But yeah, it's worth the money. It's what, 15 quid, $20. It's pretty good.
How are the controls? Because I remember when I played it back at Comic-Con, I thought the controls were a bit sticky at times.
There is an issue, at least with the PC version, where there is input delay under some circumstances. Because I was playing it with the controller, and I was noticing that Lara moving after me pushing the stick there was a noticeable discrepancy. So I went on the Steam forums, and I'm not the only person that has that problem. So the controls work for the most part otherwise. And actually, I'm left out the fact that if you're playing on your own, the game is designed for co-op. But if you're playing on your own, they do a cool thing where if there are, like, bombs, there are these balls that are bombs and they're on a timer, and if you hold a button, it slows them down so you can get more time to maneuver them wherever you want in case you're sort of struggling with the fact that you don't have a person helping you. It's kind of nice. But yeah, there is kind of an input delay, and the game's kind of buggy, so it's nothing serious, but the bugs are noticeable, and the input delay is noticeable, so it's something to be wary of. I don't know if any other platform has that problem, but I know the PC version has it.
Well, yeah, I played it on the Xbox One, and it had a similar issue, which is why I was wondering, yeah. And that was like the bit, because I'm a stickler for tight controls, and it was driving me nuts. Especially being like there are certain situations in the game, if I remember correctly, where they kind of ask you, not necessarily for pinpoint accuracy, but like there's time challenges or like you're running from a collapsing environment and you need to kind of make decisions in an instant.
And especially if you're combat rolling all the time, you have to be able to jump like precisely because you go pretty fast. And I've died a few times by combat rolling into a pit because the input delay on me pressing jump was too great at that time. It's a very weird issue that seems to come and go, but it is a problem, and it does need to be fixed.
Yeah. Have you played any of it in co-op?
I haven't played any of it in co-op.
Okay.
But if it's anything like the first one, then it'll be really good in co-op, because there are puzzles. Obviously, the puzzles change depending on whether you're playing with somebody else or not. The main puzzles, they make it so you can solve them on your own if you are on your own. But I think some of the challenge tombs, you actually need at least one other person with you. So I'll have to find someone to play it with. Because I know you can do a mixture of local and online, so you can have one person with you in the room and two other people like on their own machines if you want to and stuff like that. So that's cool.
Yeah, now I'm kind of curious, because I believe it's basically the same two sets of characters. Like, it's Zora and another hunt, Tomb Raider, I guess, and it's the Aztec, it's the god and another god who basically have the same power. So you really only need two people, but I guess there might be challenges where you need all four.
Yeah.
Okay. I have it on Steam. I don't know if I ever get around to playing it. I might pick it up on Xbox One if it's cheap sometime soon. yeah, we shall see. What about you, Martin? What have you been playing?
I have played a bit, at least, of the Destiny expansion, the first one that came out, called The Dark Below. And, wow, is that a waste of money. I mean, I played through the three story missions they give you, I think, in like an hour, maybe less. They were not particularly great designed. I revisited parts of planets I've already seen, and everything I get is a bit of voiceover and a new person in the tower that I can buy new shit from that I have to grind for. And so I guess I get a couple of multiplayer maps for the competitive multiplayer, but that most people that play Destiny will tell you is really not the most interesting part of this game. So what's left is the raid and the strikes, I guess. Strikes are fine, but the raid would require me to grind even more again, because of course the level cap got raised, and they did a bunch of bullshit for you to basically get better weapons. I mean, I already had like good legendaries, but they bumped up the legendaries, and now what you need to do is basically, they didn't just patch the old legendaries and made them as good as they should be. Instead, you have to wait for Zur, the weak end shopkeeper, hope that he has the legendary in stock that you have, and then basically exchange your old legendary for a new legendary, which is the same one, just with better stats. And then you need to upgrade that new one again. So that means a lot of grinding again. Who thought that was a great idea?
Well, I mean, again, I think the idea probably is we'll get people into this game by having them continuously want to play because they want to get better gear so they can complete this mission.
Yeah, but I already have a legendary. Just patch it so it is like it is supposed to be.
Yeah, I honestly, personally speaking, when I heard everybody complained about the Destiny DLC, I'm like, I didn't know you folks went back to that game. But there it is.
The way they handled this expansion, not only do I think it's not a good deal for the money they're asking for, but the way they're handling this upgrading stuff and all that, basically made me like the game less.
Yeah, I get
that's how bad I think that expansion is.
I think a lot of people had that reaction, especially, and I could be wrong. I know like some of the complaints was that, well, one, doesn't have much of a quote-unquote story objective. Like, there isn't a ton to the story. There aren't a ton of new environments, which I think was one of the big problems with the original release, is that you only had, like, two or three planets or whatever. And I think, I don't know if you mentioned this, but I think some people were complaining that it took away some of your gear or something like that. I don't know what that was about.
It takes away access to dailies and stuff, some dailies, if you don't have the DLC, which is dumb.
Oh, so this is the argument we always... Not the argument, but the thing we always think is stupid is fragmenting your audience when it comes to DLC.
Yeah.
Taken to a whole new level.
Like, you don't... I'm sorry, Bungie, but you don't take away something that that your players previously had. Like, I mean, it's not going to be every day, obviously, but you don't take it away at all. Like, it's dumb.
Yeah. It's just handled weirdly and badly all around. I just don't... They have a good game in there, somewhere. But it seems like they really have no idea how to get to that.
Yeah, it seems like they're just, like, changing a thing, because... Just, like, change it. Maybe what happens if we do this? And then they do it, and then... You know, it's up to the players to decide whether that's great or not. It feels like, you know what it appears like to somebody who doesn't have the game? It looks like that they're doing all their focus testing now.
Yeah.
After the game has come out.
Yeah.
And
kinda.
People are okay with that.
I'm not.
Well,
I'm really regretting buying the... I mean, I had a lot of fun with Destiny, don't get me wrong. But... This expansion really soured me on the whole thing. I was really hoping that they would do more with it, that they would fix a bunch of problems the game had, but they did nothing of the sort. They just made things worse, in my opinion. And that's why I'm really regretting buying that Digital Guardian Edition, which basically comes with the first two expansions. I don't think when that second expansion comes out, I won't even play through the story missions. In fact, after I played through the story missions and saw how much grinding I would have to do to get to the new raid and stuff, I deleted Destiny off my hard drive. No,
wow.
Not anymore.
Okay. So it sounds like Destiny's a hell of a game. I'm sure the Game of the Year edition in a couple of months will do fine for people.
I wonder, maybe we will get things fixed by end of next year, and then that's a good time to actually return to that game, if they actually listen to people and basically are done with the focus testing.
Let's be honest here, for most games, that means releasing a new version that quote-unquote fixes all the problems you had with it before, so that you can buy it again. And I'm kind of curious, I guess this can transition into news for two things. One... is that a lot of franchises are down major year over year this year. I believe that Call of Duty Advanced Warfare is down 25% year over year versus Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And which that game actually doesn't deserve, because it's actually a way better game than Ghosts.
But I think it's just, it's that the quality of your product is reflected in the next one. So it's like, Batman and Robin was a terrible movie, but it did well at the box office. It was reflected in Batman Begins, which actually started off really soft, but just had amazing word of mouth.
And yeah, Batman, I get that. I'm just saying my opinion that that game actually deserves better.
It might have better eggs than Ghost did, because Ghost eggs were pretty much cut out from underneath it. And I don't know the exact figures year over year, but I know Assassin's Creed was down. I think this is the first year I can remember that part of it is also because of how the systems were broken up. There's two Assassin's Creed games, so maybe it did better overall. But Assassin's Creed Unity was under 700,000 for the month, which I don't remember an Assassin's Creed game ever launching under 1 million.
That so, might be quite low, yeah.
I mean, a part of it I also would imagine is that it was given away with the Xbox One. So, you know, it's probably closer to like 1.5 million when you factor in that. But it's still down, and I think we're getting to the point. I assume part of Assassin's Creed Unity, it's just a terrible word of mouth.
Plus, like, I think you probably wanted to say is franchise fatigue might actually also factor
in. Yeah, I think franchise fatigue is really setting in with, I think it's Call of Duty, it's Assassin's Creed. And I think the biggest worry for me is that right now there's nothing replacing them. Like
personally, that makes me incredibly happy, because once the floor falls out under them, they have to scramble to get new IPs together.
Yeah, the problem is nobody seems to be in that phase. Well, I guess Ubisoft and Activision are in that phase. They had Destiny and they had Watch Dogs this year. And I think the fact that neither one of those, and I guess EA had Titanfall, and I guess the fact that none of those really kind of took off in a way that would usurp Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed, means that, well, to your point, I hope it means that people are like, okay, we can't just do what we've been doing and repackage it and hoping that's going to cause a resurgence. And I hope it's like, okay, maybe we shouldn't put all our eggs in the open world or, you know, kind of first-person shooter mode. We need to do something different. But it is kind of concerning that nobody has found that hit in the first year. I mean, granted, it's the first year that they're out to earn, and we have next year. But, yeah, it was kind of weird, because I think even though hardware is up overall, well, hardware sales of hardware revenue is down, and I assume we can pretty much account that to Microsoft's $170 price cut.
Yep.
But software sales are down year over year. And yeah, I mean, nothing really took off in December in a major way. Dragon Age did decently, I guess. Ludwig Planet 3 bombed terribly. Sonic Boom bombed even worse, even though that was deserved. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. The other thing I was going to note,
which basically also like reflects my views still on this year, even with some great titles coming out this year, I still think this was an incredibly weak year for video games.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. And the funny thing is, if you mention that certain people, they always talk about, but I had fun with this game. And that. It's never about having, it's not like we're saying every game was terrible this year.
No.
It's that there was no, like even now that it's December, every major game's out, there's like no game that I could honestly see people craving, be like, this has to be the game of the year. You know, you had stuff like Last of Us last year, and Bioshock.
Yeah.
In the years
for me, it's like there were tons of good games, but few games I loved.
Yeah, there's,
and there were previous years where it was like, oh jeez, I have real trouble putting together this list because there were so many great games this year. And this year it was more like, does this even deserve to be on my list? Was this year more?
Yeah, this year was there was several things. One, it was like, okay, this game works, so that's a good positive. This game was not awful. That's a positive. I'm looking at like Aliens Isolation and Shadow of Mordor. While good games, I assume, were more like, okay, this isn't a complete crap. And I think those are the two main camps. It's like, it works, and it doesn't suck. And that was like, okay, this is a great game for this year. I think the other thing is just a lot of the major games this year were kind of remastered. We've had, Tomb Raider, we've had Grand Theft Auto, we had the Halo Master Chief Collection, we had The Last of Us. I mean, I think Rayman came out this year as well, or Marie came out again this year. Mm. Even the big 3DS game was a remake with Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby. So it was, and it
really seemed like when we talked about how these consoles are taking off, and we are still getting just tons of remastered and crossover titles. I think that was also kind of a problem that all developers were still not going all in with these new machines.
And it doesn't affect people who are, because, and we don't really talk about rumors, but there's like a rumor of like a Borderlands Definitive Edition.
Still doing remasters is just mind-boggling to me.
We talked about Square and Final Fantasy VII last week, and this week they announced Final Fantasy X and X-2 for PS4. I don't know if it's out, if they announced it for the Xbox One. But yeah, it's like a lot of companies either... Yeah, because it's weird, because it's not, like, this year kind of made sense where they were still doing cross-gen, but it's not even like they're doing cross-gen anymore. It's like, literally, they just have nothing, so we're doing old games to fill the time until we have something.
Yeah. We got the Saints Row 4 coming as well.
No? Yeah, we have Saints Row 4 coming at the start of the year. And we have Super Street Fighter 4 or Ultra. Coming as well, and it's like, Capcom has done, what, one original game for this generation so far? With Dead Rising 3?
Yep.
I don't think Square has done any.
Yep.
Before they release an original game, we're just going to have a ton of remasters or remakes. Or
including Final Fantasy X for PS4 and Final Fantasy Type-0.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Type-0. And they're selling that with a Final Fantasy 15 demo, which they're saying is the only way to get it.
And it's only the first print as well.
Yeah. So it's a lot of people promising.
And you don't even get the demo right away. It will be a code with the game once the demo is done.
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily the same thing, but it kind of reminds me of Phantom Pain, or Ground Zeroes, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
Which was basically a very fancy paid demo. Yeah. For a game that's not... I remember when people were so excited because there was rumors that Metal Gear Solid 5 would make it out this year. And at this point, it doesn't even look like it's going to make it out in the next 6 months of next year. So, we shall see. And that's the other thing, is like... Oh, I guess this was news we didn't touch on and didn't have it on notes. But even next year's kind of taken a hit. The Witcher 3 was delayed until May. So that's another, 3 months?
It was supposed to come out February, yeah.
Yes. We already know that Arkham Knight was pushed back to June. The start of the year, kind of, Sony has a good start with Bloodborne and the Order 18. Okay, they have a good start with Bloodborne.
Maybe the Order, who knows, so far
maybe
it doesn't look like it.
Okay, can I just say this, and I thought it was the funniest thing in the world, is that video game media has gotten so broken that Eurogamer had to make a preview that literally said, do not pre-order this game.
Yeah.
I thought that the point of a preview is to tell you whether something's in a good enough shape to invest in. But the fact that they already had to call out, like, you maybe shouldn't pre-order this game. It's like,
my favorite video was one videogamer.com did, where it was just two guys talking for one, asking, hey, how is this game? And it was just him talking about the graphics and then asking, but how does it play? Well, it's a bit shy. And that was the end of the video.
Yeah, I think it's getting a fair pass because it is a really nice looking game. But a lot of the stuff that people mention about the gameplay really does sound concerning.
Yeah. I told you, coming away from the Gamescom demo, it feels like Gears of War, but even more linear. And that's not good. Especially not since Gears of War is a really old game at this point.
Yeah, and I think... I think it was Video Gamer who said it felt like a PS2 game, and stuff like that. And it's going to be a really interesting year. It's a good thing that we have indies, and indies are...
But even they are delaying, so Helldivers is now apparently beginning of 2015. Yay!
And let's not forget Broken Age, which is the game of whenever, But yes, kind of just a really cheap plug, but we also have a ton of indie impressions from PlayStation Experience up on the website. And some of those games do sound really fun, and I can't wait to try them out. And a lot of them I didn't hear about, so it was
apparently those will be like major fun games in the beginning of next year, like except for like Bloodborne, and I guess May is still early, right? Witcher 3. So
yeah, but it, I mean, even if you think about it now, that's 6 months from now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, for us, we have Kirby, but I don't want to open that again.
Yeah.
And I guess technically we have Codenames.
But Splatoon is coming out everywhere early.
Yeah, but again, early when? Is it like May or June? That's still like, the next...
Didn't that also come out February?
What, Splatoon?
Splatoon?
No, it doesn't have a release date.
Oh, really? I think they said February here and Nintendo right here.
Oh, I don't... you have Captain Toad. What was I going to say? There's also Mortal Kombat 10?
Yeah, April. Yep.
Yeah, April. And I believe...
So still not Q1, but so... Right?
Yeah.
Q1 is kind of dire.
Yeah. Which, okay, it's such a perfect transition that I'm going to use it. I'm going to jettison the rest of the news because it is that time of the year where we go back through the year to do our Game of the Year countdown to think of games that may or may not make it onto our list, even though we just spent like...
I want to still talk about at least the one news thing, the WWE.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end.
Okay.
But, it's been a... In hindsight... It was a really kind of sparse year, and I think the busiest time was actually the start of the year, and even then that wasn't great. Mm. It wasn't full of a ton of new releases, partially because of it being new systems and everybody wants to get stuff out at launch. We got, and we mentioned this before, we got Broken Age Act 1 in January, and we haven't got Part 2 yet, so... Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Octodad, Yodout, and I think that was it for January, unless you folks see something I'm missing.
Might and Magic 10 Legacy was kind of cool, but very buggy.
Yeah, and a lot of this stuff is just kind of like ports, and that's always the confusing thing with our Game of the Year. We tend not to do anything that are ports. I don't think a port should ever win Game of the Year. A port or remakes, maybe, depending on how much has changed.
Yeah, if it's like the Resident Evil remake, I think that's...
Yeah, I think Resident Evil remake would be a great example.
Yeah.
If it's Final Fantasy VII, no.
No, that's not even remake. I would say that's just a port.
Yeah, or even something... I was about to say, I guess there aren't too many examples of actual pure remakes in the game industry. I think GoldenEye Wii was a remake. The Resident Evil was a remake. The Twin Snakes was a remake.
Yeah.
But most other things are ports or enhanced editions or whatever they want to call it. February saw Fable Anniversary, which I completely forgot was a thing.
It's Fable. Who cares?
Yeah, I think that's why people forgot it was a thing. The Lego Movie, which I've heard good things about.
It's a Lego game.
Yeah, it's a Lego game. Bravely Default, which I think is a contender for a lot of people for handheld game of the year.
Venom was really good, although long, a bit too long in my opinion.
Yeah, from what I understand, I have not played it.
It drags a bit in the middle.
Yeah, everybody loves the game until that one point, and that's where you either go with it or you kind of crap the bed and say, like, this game is awful.
Well, I still wouldn't say it's awful.
Not awful, but, like, people lose their patience with it.
Yeah. What is this? Danganronpa?
Danganronpa, which is one of the reasons that I would buy a PlayStation Vita if Sony actually made it convenient for me to do so.
I would have bought a Vita TV to play that, but I have the same reason to not buy one as you have to not buy a Vita for it, because the fucking memory cards are way too expensive. Also, for whatever reason, the first Danganronpa doesn't work on the European Vita TV, but on the US one. What?
Oh, good.
Yes. I did not remember that Lightning Returns is this year.
I guess it must have been.
Which one? What game?
Lightning Returns.
Oh, right, that crap game. Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was this year. Not necessarily a Game of the Year contender for me, but I think one of the surprise hits of this year, Steel Diver Subwars.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. Banished, I thought, was really cool. Like, if you're into, like, SimCity-like games,
yeah.
But this is more, not modern city building, but, like, olden times. But it's really cool. Well done.
This is an interesting one, because it's an odd hype cycle. But Strider, I remember people kind of being A on
it.
I
liked it. It's
yeah, that's
good,
what I meant.
But
it seemed to have beat people's expectations, but I guess it didn't transcend, because I don't hear anybody talking about it anymore.
No, it's good. It's, like I said, it's good, not great.
Yeah. Personally, one of my contenders for Game of the Year, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. I can tell you.
I don't care about Donkey Kong games. It does not get me to care about Donkey Kong.
I mean, I can understand that. I don't care for Rare's Donkey Kong. I don't like the Donkey Kong Country games, but I like the retro ones. And I don't know if it will win my Game of the Year. I can tell you this much. It is going to win my Soundtrack of the Year easily. I don't think anything else this year has come close to it.
I have another Nintendo game that is, for me, the top spot, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
That Nintendo game has a lot of music in it.
I feel like that doesn't count. I feel like we've never, but I always feel like that's cheap because it's like an artist releasing the best of album. Like, yes, it's going to be awesome because it's already a hit and one.
But it's fucking good.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, let's say this on the table. If any other game had anywhere close to half the amount of songs in that game, I mean, what, it's 437 tracks?
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't think most games have 40, so, yeah, it would be hard to beat. Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare, which is a game I still want to try.
That's a good game. That's a good game. I downloaded it again for free. Thanks to PlayStation Experience.
Yeah, I've been thinking about trying EA Access, especially being that they're adding UFC soon. Mm. But we shall see. Thief was another game that apparently came out this year.
That wasn't good.
Yeah.
Which a lot of us predicted, but... Yeah.
Thief, that game is not as good as Dishonored. In fact, Dishonored makes a better Thief game than Thief does.
It's true. And it's real sad, because... I still remember how everyone was super skeptical about Deus Ex, but everything they have shown and talked about when Deus Ex Human Revolution was about to come out was the right thing,
yeah.
And the game turned out to be good. And Thief, everything they said about Thief and showed about Thief looked terrible, and it turned out to be terrible.
And they had to change so many things, like if the people weren't happy with before the game actually released,
and it wasn't even enough.
And this is the thing, is like it was pretty obvious that the more that they were changing that was in the game, the worse the game was probably going to end up anyway. Because, you know, if you change something, if you have this idea and then you have to change it, then there's something going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think something that I think, I don't necessarily know if it's going to win, but I think something that has kind of come out as a dark horse as a possible Game of the Year contender for a lot of people, South Park, The Stick of Truth.
It's on my list.
I think
I would put it on mine as well.
It's really good, I think. Still really good. It's a bit... I mean, it's mechanically a bit, like, light. But otherwise, it's a really good game.
It's a game that's a lot greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you just take the South Park, then, you know exactly what to expect. And you know, it's a simple RPG like Costume Quest, but you put them together and it works really well, and it manages to sort of contextualize the South Park universe in a way that you sort of don't get to see otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is because they had a hand in the writing of the game as
well.
Yeah,
and it's great because it's like having a whole season of South Park.
Basically,
yeah.
This is an interesting one, because I feel like going in, this was a huge contender for Game of the Year, but I don't hear people talking about it, so I don't know. Like, it didn't sound like it turned out bad, but Dark Souls 2?
Lots of people think that either Dark Souls 1 or Demon's Souls were better than Dark Souls 2. It felt too similar, is what I heard from a lot of people. So it might probably make the list for a lot of people still, but not like, yeah, this is Game of the Year.
Yeah, and that's kind of what... It just seemed like it came out out of hype, and then people weren't disappointed. They just kind of like, we've been here before.
Yeah, I feel like Bloodborne is that game that will make people appreciate that style of game more, because that game switches things up in a more significant way.
Yeah.
Hearthstone.
Hearthstone. Another one.
That is... a quite popular game, and also quite popular for me. And I started playing it again now that the new expansion is out with like 100 new cards or something, which is pretty cool. Switches things up quite a bit. Yeah, Hearthstone. That's cool.
Hearthstone. One of my contenders. It won't be. I don't think it's going to be my game of the year, but it's on my list. Titanfall.
Yeah, same here.
I think Parshi just removed from the hype and expectations. I think just coming in with people kind of had more grounded expectations of it or what I heard about it. I was really happy. I'm really happy with what I have. It's a ton of fun. There's a lot of modes that I enjoy. Like I was just trying out Last Titan Standing this past week, and that's a ton of fun. It's added a ton of modes and customization options I've heard over the year. But... yeah, it's a blast. It's really fun, and it just feels great to me.
And I think the biggest thing that I like about Titanfall is the whole, because it is kind of asymmetrical gameplay where you have people that are running around in big robots, but they're not overpowered. So you get your own, you feel powerful, but you're not if somebody really knows how to take you out. And I really like that idea, and the fact that. I mean, I played Call of Duty Advanced Warfare because it's free weekends on Steam, and like the movement in Titanfall just feels better because it feels like they reworked how you move from scratch instead of just bolting on a couple of things like they did with Advanced Warfare. So I think that, I mean, Titanfall was kind of disappointing in the sense that after a while it does get to be a bit samey, and like there's something that Titanfall's missing, but it's not quite clear what. But what it does have is actually really good at the same time.
Yeah, I also think, and I mentioned this on the show when I was giving my impression, I also think it was an expectations of value, where I don't think I would have been content with this game if I had paid $60. But paying $15 for it, it's a ton of fun for what I paid for.
Yeah, at $15, I can see someone being like ecstatic about what they're getting. I still think like, at the price it came out originally, it's just not enough content.
Yeah, and especially being that a lot of the stuff that is there now was added over the year and not necessarily there at launch.
And was added at extra price on top of that.
Oh, was it? I thought some of that stuff was. I thought some of that was free.
If some of that new game mode is free or something,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like most of the maps aren't.
Yeah, because even like this, the kind of the horde mode was something that was just added in like November, so. Yeah. I came in at a great time where all this stuff was there and ready for me to consume. I guess I mean, I don't think this would win, but Threes was really fun. It's really fun, I should say.
Another smaller game I think that probably not going to win, but also quite good was Luftrausers.
Man, that game is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. It's just I think it's kind of a shame. A lot of people decided to focus on the semi-Nazi imagery that the game has, because it's not directly alluding to like Nazi iconography and stuff, but it obviously has a feel of something's not quite right, which kind of adds to it, I think. But you know, people will criticize what they will.
Yeah, I'm not defending it, but I also think sometimes it's easier for people to dismiss something based, like, it's easier for people to kind of dismiss an argument when there's just one thing that they can latch onto and
yeah.
are of. And that happens with all forms of, not just entertainment, it happens with politics as well. It's the backbone of American politics. If you discredit one thing somebody says to ruin their entire argument, even if 99.9% of it makes sense. Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, I don't think a hands demo should win Game of the Year, but that's just me.
I think when it came out, when I played it, I told you guys that I think the gameplay is fantastic and it's absolutely terrible value and it shouldn't make any list just because of that. I think right now it's probably at a price point that it's fair. I think you can get it for like €15 here. That seems about right.
Yeah. And I think I'm surprised it hasn't been like a PlayStation Plus or Games of Gold reward at this point. I guess
it will definitely be there next year, I would say.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it was when Metal Gear Solid 5 actually releases, because it's a good way to say...
Or like a month or two before that.
Yeah, it's a good way to say, hey, we've got a game coming out, this is why you should pay attention to it.
And that way you don't actually need to do a real demo for that new game, because basically you already have one. It shows off all the gameplay. In a really good way, by the way. That, I mean, it really convinces you that that Metal Gear game is going to be fantastic. It's just that this is not enough.
What is this? Zyba Ninja Gaiden Z?
Oh, that game is bad.
Piece of shit. Yeah. Why are you even mentioning that?
Okay, then. Infamous Second Son.
Yeah, that's a good game. That's a good game. More of the same, but it's a really good game.
When
was that released? Oh, that also was March, right?
Yeah, end of March. I think that's it for the first quarter of this year.
Yeah. I would move on to April.
Well, I think we do April, June, and stuff next week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not the best first quarter. Not the worst first, but actually, it's probably the worst first quarter we've done on this show.
In a while.
Not the most thrilling year, in hindsight. And
we missed Ollie Ollie. Ollie is really good.
Okay.
I have yet to play it.
There are some other games we kind of miss, but I think Farshi, Telltale games are always very difficult because, The Wolf Among Us and The Walking Dead Season 2 were out. But actually, Episode 2 or Episode 1, and that's a year-long thing.
Yeah. Also, I think none of us played Season 2 of Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us.
Well,
I
none of
played
us.
Season 2 of Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jason did, but none of us currently talking on this podcast.
Yeah, Daniel just... Yeah. But we'll talk about that when, I guess... I think what we usually do is when the actual season ends, we'll talk about it. But yeah, not a stellar first half. I'm sure there was... I don't even know any indie games. Well, we mentioned the big ones. I don't even know if there was any major indie games we would have missed in that time.
We mentioned a couple.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if there was any that might have popped out or something like that.
But there were a couple of good ones, but it's not like, man, this really stood out.
Nothing
and
earth-shattering.
Set the world on fire.
Yeah, and
that
I think,
didn't happen.
I think, you know, because actually that was a big thing with indie games. I don't know, but I don't think there's any, there's only, personally speaking, there's only one indie game for me that's in contendership for Game of the Year, and that's Shovel Knight.
I have a couple more.
Well, we'll get to that next week. But that's been our Game of the Year recap for January through March of this year. I think we kind of all can agree that there isn't a ton of contenders for our actual Game of the Year on this list. Just getting back real quick to the news, I guess several more things real quick. Drive Club got an update. One, it works now.
After two months after release, it actually has all the features it was supposed to.
And I was kind of really curious about that, because there's a thread on NeoGAF about, like, should they re-review the game? And it's
I don't know. I mean, they added a couple of features, but reviewers actually got to play the game with all the stuff working. Because the game actually just broke after the public got their hands on it.
Yeah, I was about to say, it wasn't even the game being broken that was a problem with the other reviews. I remember it just being that it didn't control well.
I completely disagree with people that think that, but one of the reasons I think.
And it added weather, which looks really, really nice.
It's super pretty.
Yes, but I don't think I know. 2-2-8, I feel like 2 months, you kind of use up all your goodwill from consumers.
Yeah.
The people who are going to look into this are people who own the game and have stuck with it. But I assume like you won't go back to it.
No, I told you I got my money back from Sony and I can't look at it. So, and I'm not going to spend money again on it.
Yeah, so I think that, especially this time of the year, like 2 months is death because people just move on. There's other games, if you're in the genre, there was The Crew, which nobody actually bought, but there were other games in the genre as well, so there's no reason to stick with it for 2 months.
No.
But we'll get pretty screenshots of the lightning.
I just think, personally, if a game is as broken as Drive Club, something like that needs to be fixed, like, within, let's say, a week or two.
Yeah, but
that shit needs to work because it really was integral parts of what that game was sold upon.
Yeah, but I'm actually I've been curious about this, especially in regards to the Halo Master Chief Collection and Assassin's Creed Unity. It's like if you can patch something in like a week or two, like why wasn't this a concern when the game was being made? Like if it could be done, if you focused all your energies on it, like we'll ship it and that because like Assassin's Creed has had
usually because they have a deadline.
Yeah, but, it's a vicious cycle. But, yeah, it doesn't do anything great for your brand.
No,
as we saw with Drive Club, we're seeing with Hero, we're seeing with Assassin's Creed Unity. It's like people only have so much patience with your game, and I think it's getting to the point where consumers are pushing back where, okay, they'll ship it and fix it day one because it's not being done day one anymore. It's not being done week one. It's a month, it's 2 months, it's 3 months. I don't even know how long it took Battlefield 4 to be fixed.
If consider it ever fixed.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's fixed. I don't hear anybody talking about it anymore. And I think it's going to... Well, I think there's a lot of things that are working against Hearthstone next year.
Yeah.
The other announcement, which I am really curious about, and I'm sure Martin is as well, is that NetherRealms is working on a WWE mobile game.
Yeah. Which, I mean, they did a couple of mobile games, right? They made that Batman game, which was kind of an Infinity Blade clone, I think.
I don't know what they made.
They made, like, a Batman mobile game, I think.
Oh, okay. To be honest, I'm only... it's interesting because NetherRealms is a fantastic company right now.
Yep, they put out really good stuff.
I think the other thing is, let's be honest, nobody actually cares about the WWE games they're making.
It was called Batman Arkham City Lockdown, and they also made Injustice Gods Among Us Mobile and Batman Arkham Origins Mobile.
Okay, I remember the, I remember the Injustice one, because that was like a tie-in app, and people had a ton of fun with that.
Hmm.
And, I mean, let's be honest, I was addicted to that WWE Supercard game.
I'm kind of playing that as well.
I stopped
it's
playing.
It's a terrible game.
I stopped playing because it needs an internet connection.
Mm.
And you can't play that on, like, when I'm commuting, which is when I do most of my mobile gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of fell off the radar for something like Candy Crush Saga or whatever. But, yes, I'm extremely curious about this, especially being that, like, we've had some good and bad arcadey wrestling games. Like,
also,
I mean,
the real funny thing will be if this game looks better than the WWE 2K15 game. And I wouldn't even be surprised if it does.
Well, I'm kind of curious.
I absolutely assume they will probably use Unreal Engine, because that's what they use. And these guys know how to make a pretty game, also on mobile.
I'm kind of curious what type of game it is. If it's going to be a fighting game, we've had fighting games in the WWE before, or if it's going to be like a brawler, or if it's going to be like an actual wrestling game.
Yeah, or if they go like the Infinity Blade route again, in some way, and make that work in a wrestling match or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
It's definitely interesting.
It's very interesting. The only thing is they didn't release any type of details as far as, like, release date or potential release window or what type of game. So it's, like, it's more curious in that it's NetherRealms and WWE than any actual details we have on the project.
Yeah. Also, just interesting that NetherRealms doing a WWE game since WB has nothing to do with the WWE at this point.
I didn't even think about that, because the
license is owned by 2K.
Yeah, I actually didn't even think about that. Huh. I wonder if WWE, when they move from THQ, they got a deal where they could do, like, as long as it's not direct competition, you can do other games.
Maybe.
But even, that would be nice. I always thought they should have moved to a, I guess it's really, beggars can't be choosers. If they did this, they should have done it in the 90s. But it would have been awesome if they had competing products, which I guess they kind of did back, but it was still THQ doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I guess no sports is really competitive anymore. Madden's EA and basketball's 2K.
Basketball is technically competing.
Yes, but I mean, let's be honest. It's like if one person shows up wearing boxing gloves and the other person just puts their face out to be punched. It's not fun. But I think that will do it for us this week. I guess there's anything I missed out on.
No.
Okay. So we will be back next week with our Game of the Year recap part 2, looking at April through June, which saw the release of one of the prettiest games this year, Mario Kart 8. Mm. And if there's any breaking news, which we doubt, we will cover that. So for Daniel, Martin, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 165.